Go ahead and be seated, and while they're exiting, this morning I'm going to do something that I typically do the second Sunday of the month, but Sarah and I are going to be out of the country next Sunday, and so I wanted to do this today. I want to give the State of the Church address. Now, there are three really important reasons why I choose to do the State of the Church address every year at this time. Number one is always to remember and thank God for what he did in 2018. There is plenty to be celebrated. Even if you went through a very difficult and tough year, there's plenty to remember and thank God for in 2018, especially as a church family. Secondly, I want to announce the exciting vision that is laid out in front of us for 2019. And then last but not least, I want to talk to you about and make very clear who we are as a church and who we are not as a church. You know, the importance of doing that can't be overestimated. When a people, a person, a nation, a church, a community, whatever it is, when we forget our identity and our purpose, we get in trouble. So I want to be very clear up front in a quick way who we are and who we are not. So let me start there, and then we'll get into the real State of the Church address. First of all, our purpose, and you see this around our campus, you see it behind me up on the wall, is to equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ. Now, the equipping would be the winning and the discipling and the sending, but we want to equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus. Everything we do is heading toward that single goal. Now, how do we go about that? Several ways. I'm going to share just a few with you. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, talks about the importance of speaking the truth in love. And so we as a church family here, particularly those who are in the pulpit ministry that join me in that, our goal is to speak the truth in love. It means we're not going to hold anything back because it's not comfortable or convenient or, you know, maybe it's going to be controversial. That isn't the issue. The issue is it the truth? And if it is the truth, then we're going to speak the truth, but we're going to do it with love. You see, you can withhold the truth in the name of love, and then you're actually not loving someone. Or you can speak the truth and be a jerk about it. That's called being a Pharisee. Or you can speak the truth in love and be a follower of Jesus. And that's what our goal is. We want to equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus by speaking the truth in love, even if it gets us in trouble. All right? Next. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus talked about the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon his disciples in order to do the work of the ministry and to expand the kingdom of God. We're going to do what we do under the power of the Holy Spirit through worship, prayer, studying God's word, just those core essential disciplines of the Christian faith. We're going to do what we do under the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to rest on yesterday's experience. We're not going to trust in our own gifting or our own talent or our own wisdom. We really want to do what we do completely dependent upon the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Next, Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, famous passage about going into all the world and making disciples, we want to equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus by not just making disciples out of them, but by making disciple makers out of them. In other words, we want to disciple you in the truths of God in such a way that you can then pass it on to other people. And so as you learn it yourself and then pass it on to others, then you're going to be an equipped and passionate servant of Jesus. You remember just a few months ago, we finished this series called Follow Me, Following Jesus. And we defined what it is to follow Jesus. In the strictest sense of the word, it means to be on the same road with him, to be walking with him. And then it's to learn from him. And then what you learn, you imitate. You actually live that way, what you learn. And then next, you multiply him in others. You pass on what you have gleaned from him. So this is our approach to equipping people to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's what we take seriously. And we're not changing that for anything. Now, here's who we are not at Grace Chapel. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul speaks and gives a very serious prophetic warning. This is the only time in the scripture where Paul or any of the other disciples use a warning like this to this degree. In 1 Timothy 4, 1, Paul writes and says, "Now the Spirit," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "expressly," or specifically, okay, "explicitly says that in latter times, some people are going to depart from the faith. And it's because they're going to give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Now let's move on to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and for time's sake, verse 1, 5, and 7. "But know this," Paul says, "that in the last days," or the latter times, "perilous times," times of stress, "will come. People are going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny or resist the power of God." Okay, so they're going to look religious on the outside, but they really don't want inward change. They're going to shun and reject the power of God in their lives. They're going to be people who are always learning, and yet they don't seem to ever be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, let's go one chapter over again, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Paul says this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." He's talking about church people. "But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." So in 1 and 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gives some serious warning about what the church or parts of the church are going to fall into in the latter times. So let me state categorically for you who we are not this morning. We are not a community of faith departing, Holy Spirit rejecting, always learning, never able, itching ears, tell me what I want to hear, so-called Christians. Our goal isn't to be hip, tolerant, or politically correct. Our goal is to be holy, loving, and faithful to Jesus. That's who we are, and that's who we are not. If you ever come here and any of those things start changing, leave immediately. Get out of here and go find a church that's doing that. God forbid we would ever depart from that. All right, so that's who we are and that's who we're not. Now we're going to switch gears. In this first part of this, it's good and exciting, but it's a bit mechanical, so forgive me in advance. We're going to start the State of the Church Address, just giving you some numbers and some understanding about where we were in 2018. First of all, We're right at 5,400 active participants, 5,400 active attendees, okay? There might be more than that, but these are people who are actively giving, serving, participating, 5,400. That's just shy of 2,000 individual families that are participating here at Grace Chapel. Now, this is mind-boggling to me, and how this happened again, this was the first year where I thought, yeah, I don't know that we're going to make it. But I am happy to say to you today, this is our 24th consecutive best year ever in giving of our resources. Our 24th consecutive year. Now listen to me, that's in total dollars of tithes and offerings and the total number of people who are giving of their tithes and offerings. It means that in 2018, there was more giving more than ever before. And that is to be celebrated. Can somebody join me with that? Total tithes and offerings for 2018 was $9.7 million. $9.7 million came into Grace Chapel by way of tithes and offerings. This is very exciting to me, this next part. I am aware of the fact that many churches hope to, strive to get to the point where they give away 10% of what comes in, and God bless them for that. In 2018, Grace Chapel gave away 23% of what came in here to outreach, missions, and needs around the world. 23%. Now, our total debt, and I want you to remember this because way at the end, you need to remember this. Our total debt here at Grace Chapel is a measly $2.8 million. Now, what that includes is a $500,000 building that we just bought in Fairview that I'm going to talk to you more about here in just a little bit. But our total debt, everything that we owe, $2.8 million. We have for quite some time under Pastor Ron's, I saw Ronnie, there you are. Give us a wave, Ron Stee, there you are. Under Pastor Ron's leadership and the rest of our financial board, Fred Nance is here with us this morning. We've done a fantastic job doubling and tripling our monthly payments to get us out of debt as soon as possible, and these men do a fantastic job. We're indebted to our entire financial advisory board. Can we tell them thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you? So those are some general numbers for you to see. Now we're going to go into some storytelling and some slideshows here. First of all, just looking at some things that are kind of what we're calling local and community outreach. So go ahead and roll it, guys. Local and community outreach, we did four different Saturday serves. These are home improvement, landscaping services, feeding programs, Tucker's House Disability Home Improvement. These are things where we just go out into the community four different times and meet various needs. We did two different Love Your Neighbor events. This is loving inner city families, just having fun, grilling and games and getting to know the community that typically doesn't come in here. Our friend Dan Edwards did the Battle 3-on-3 basketball and soccer things, again, just to make some connection with these precious, precious people. We want to bridge the gap and learn how to love them better and know that they are welcome here, and we want to integrate with them and be a part of each other's lives. So great community, local outreach stuff. We continued our partnership, and countless volunteers helped with Baby Girls Club. Of course, Nicole Mullen started that years ago, more years than she would like to say. But listen, every single Wednesday, it happens right here at Grace Chapel. Every Wednesday after school, 30 to 40 young girls show up here, and they're taught about Jesus, they're discipled, we teach them how to dance and do all kinds of great stuff. Our Grace Chapel vans go and pick them up and bring them out here so their parents don't have to wonder how to get them here. We take care of all of that. Another great ministry that we are partnering with, Franktown, they meet two nights a week here at Grace Chapel. Again, we serve their transportation needs. We get them here. Our volunteers support it. We financially support Franktown. Franktown's a great ministry serving inner city kids. Again, with Jesus-centered programming, including entrepreneurship, business, music, and arts classes, all kinds of stuff, wanting to instill in these kids and educate these kids so that they have the best chance of succeeding in the future. They get trade training with Lee Company and automotive classes, all kinds of great stuff, but we're happy to partner with and serve all of that, did all of that in 2018. Next, this is a little bit different. This was our, I think our second or third year, I don't remember exactly, but going out into Bonnaroo. Bonnaroo is, you know, whatever it is, 70,000 people show up there for a weeks-long outdoor music fest. I've never been, and I don't plan on going. Unless I go to serve, that's a different thing. But this past year, water distribution, prayer support, 250 volunteers served at least one of the 5 days. We joined with 50 other churches and mission organizations. It was an awesome team effort by the body of Christ. And let me say publicly, I am not against the rest of the body of Christ. I'm not going to get on Twitter and Facebook and demean other members of the body of Christ or their ministries. God bless the entire body of Christ, and shame on us if we want to make ourselves famous by taking pot shots at other believers. We're not about that at all, all right? So, as a result of that, friends, 751 young people surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ at Bonnaroo last year. You can see that young man right there. They baptized him right there on the spot. You can see Scott McLeod and Bob Perry there in the background. Just fantastic stuff down at Bonnaroo. Next, we're going to switch over to our One Generation Away partnership that we have. This was our two different trips that we took with them for the hurricane damage that happened in Lumberton, North Carolina. Food distribution, Hurricane Florence wreaked havoc. 2,200 displaced families. Not displaced people, families. 2,200 scattered all over the place. We partner with One Generation Away, took all kinds of food, served thousands of people. Fantastic outreach. Also, Vidor, Texas did the same thing with One Generation Away. Food distribution as a result of Hurricane Harvey. 66,000 people were affected there negatively by Hurricane Harvey. I don't mean just people who went through the storm. I mean people who had loss in their life as a result of it. Grace Chapel, you showed up with the love and grace of God. All right, let's move on to some mission trips now. And although all of these are mission and outreach activities, these are kind of specific, like going somewhere out of the country mission trips. First of all, last February in Puerto Rico, again, more hurricane relief. We had a hurricane relief team down there, put on new tin roofs in the Isabela area and distributed care packages to remote villages in the mountain areas that were still without power at that time. I think we collected and sent $100,000 to send to them to help the people in Puerto Rico. Moving on, we can talk about Haiti. Now, of course, we feed hundreds of children every single day in Haiti. When they come to school, we feed them lunch. The kids eat some of what they're given, and then many of them end up taking other portions of it home to the rest of their family or their siblings. But every single day in Haiti, we're feeding kids as they show up for school. In January, we distributed the Haiti shoeboxes. Pastor Myron, you know, you just can't say enough about him. The guy's all over the world getting it done for Jesus. But just all kinds, the young, the elderly, everything from evangelism to conferences on heaven to teaching women and their daughters about their identity in Christ to teaching them how to do raised gardens so they could begin to grow their own food, all kinds of stuff. January, May, August, and October it was just cranking down in Haiti. They did a fantastic job. Now, the other side of the island is the Dominican Republic. Remember, one island, two countries, split in half. We have Josiah's house and Giovanna's house, okay? We continue to move forward with the vision of Josiah's house to share the love of Jesus with orphan and abandoned children, raising them up so that one day, we believe this from the very beginning, they're gonna be able to make a radical impact on that entire nation. In 2018, it was a happy year of family restoration. Our oldest boy, our orphan, he's a man now. I don't know what to call Carlos. He's transitioned. But our first boy that we had has now turned 18. He's a young man. He has gotten restored cautiously and carefully with his biological birth father, who he didn't know or have relationship with. So we're overseeing that. But the ministry of Josiah's house for boys and Giovanna's house for girls, orphan street kids, pulling them off the road and having them just have their lives totally, totally transformed. The staff grew by two families this year, and the outreach just continues there at Josiah's house and then around the surrounding villages. Donna Boone, another champion, just leading women down there, cooking meals, just fantastic stuff happening in the Dominican Republic and Haiti as a result of you all's generosity. Now let's move on to Mexico next. Of course, we planted Grace Chapel Navajoa with Brian and Rochelle Ray there a couple years ago. They're down in Mexico in June of 2018. We went down and did Bible studies for our church plant, ministering in small villages, going into the local prisons. We did building project for Rancho Maranatha so that when our teams go there in the future, we'll have a better place to stay, just getting the stuff done. November, December, just a couple months ago, again, back in the small villages, ministering to families and individuals in this young church plant. We facilitated a Sunday day of celebration where everybody got together for a time of teaching, fellowship, Bible study groups, sharing a meal, awesome stuff. And again, back in the local prisons, bringing the message of Jesus and how you can have a new identity and a new life in Him. Mexico, fantastic stuff this year. Next, and this is most recent, you've heard the most about this from me, about Uganda and South Sudan. In March of 2018, Pastor Myron, Elder Rick Wood, and Elder Scott Farrar went into the border area of Uganda and South Sudan and came away with the idea of being able to do a peace and reconciliation meeting with current and former political and religious leaders from South Sudan. That was in March. Well, by the time September rolled around, it finally all came to pass. You know that Elder Rick and I went and had an amazing meeting with current and former government and religious leaders talking about peace and reconciliation. Great progress was made. We look forward to much more progress in the future. But I'm happy to report that just 2 weeks ago, we got a phone call that children who had been abducted and stolen from their parents have been found and returned with, listen to me, Grace Chapel, without question. You and I, we had a hand in that rescue operation happening, and it's going to happen more in the future. Not only were children found and returned, but cattle. Now, you might go, well, cattle, well, that's kind of not that big a deal. Listen, when cattle is cash, it's a big deal. And so we're happy to announce that our work in South Sudan not only has been awesome for the last 10 or 12, how long has it been, Rick? 10 or 12 years, something like that? But it's going to continue to get even better. We have standing invitations to come back at any time. Unique relationships are being built there, and we look forward to seeing what God is going to do. But South Sudan is incredible. We're going to be sending back into the field, the mission field in South Sudan, six different teams of two, one Dinka man, one Merle man from previously warring tribes, to send them back out into the camps where these people live and preach peace through Jesus. We've sent them through a discipleship program in Uganda. It's going awesome, and God's kingdom is being expanded there. We're grateful for that. Amen. India and Tibet was on our radar this year. In November, again, Pastor Myron took a group and did some seminars with our dear friend Lemuel. Lemuel, I'm sure you're watching. How are you, buddy? Good to see you. But moving into local shelters and schooling with the impoverished children. Of course, India, there's a lot of poverty and a lot of problems. We help them every single day do the work that they do. They did seminars for pastors and ministry leaders in the local area. Very successful. In addition to what happened in India, 12 men from Grace Chapel, along with our partner Hope Force, an international disaster relief organization, we partnered together and went into Kathmandu, Nepal, and partnered with an organization called the Apple of God's Eye. And what they do is they go in and rescue children who have been abducted and sex trafficked, and bring them out and restore their lives and help them. And so we had a hand in that as well. Very exciting, very good work. We look forward to seeing what we can do there in the future. I could go on with some stuff there. They did really good work there in Kathmandu and in India as well. All right, let's switch gears just a little bit, bring it back a little bit closer to home. Grace Chapel, Knoxville. We planted that. They're about to have their third anniversary coming up in March, but we've got a quick video from Pastor Jake giving you an update from Grace Chapel, Knoxville.
Hey, Grace Chapel family. This is Pastor Jake Spencer out here in Knoxville. We wanted to take just a couple of minutes to update you guys on some exciting things that have been happening here in Knoxville the last couple of years, and also pause to just say thank you so much. We're coming up on our three-year anniversary in March, and we've just experienced some incredible things along the way. We've gotten to celebrate salvations and celebrate new life together at our barbecue and baptism events that we've had a couple of times already. We've also gotten to watch people grow and mature in their relationship with Jesus, as over 50% of our church is in a life group. as well as several of the Knoxville families that we've met here have now grown into being life group leaders. It's really incredible to watch this community get established. A lot of our folks are serving, which is incredible to see. We've got a wonderful team of enthusiastic volunteers who help turn a school into a sanctuary and create a welcoming space to share the love of Jesus with our kids. But not only are things happening within our church body, we've had the incredible opportunity to partner with other local Knoxville ministries. We've served with feeding programs in our community. We've been able to love on international students at UT. Also, we've had some incredible partnerships with some local churches, including a new church plant in South Knoxville, where they came to our church on a Sunday morning and got to experience setting up and tearing down in a school. And then ultimately, our elders felt led to gift them with the trailer we used to use hauling our gear around to the school. It's really incredible to partner with churches in our community, to see the gospel of Jesus expanded, and to watch our church grow. None of that could be possible without your love and your support. So thank you, Grace Chapel family. We love you.
Good stuff. I'm so proud of Jake kind of duplicating our generosity DNA, where they and their elders on their own saw another new church plant that needed a trailer, and they realized, hey, this is an opportunity to do for someone else what Grace Chapel Leaper's Fork did for us, and they gave them a trailer so that they could move their stuff back and forth. I know it might sound like a little thing, but that's fantastic kingdom work, working together with other believers. All right, last thing I want to talk about kind of officially is the Surrounded event. The Surrounded event that we did with Michael W. Smith at Bridgestone Arena. Again, thousands and thousands of people attending. I don't know what the final number was, 10, 12,000 people, something like that. Millions of people viewed it around the world as TBN produced and then broadcast it multiple times. And I'm happy to say that this isn't the one and only event. This is gonna happen in other places around the world, it looks like, and we're very, very excited to have been on the very ground level when Michael decided to do that. Our phone rang, and here we went running to make sure that it happened right. So it was just a great, great, great event. Now, so many other ongoing ministries. We've got Kids Crew on Wednesday night. We have Can Do Ministry for differently abled children. We've got Pure Passion Ministry that we support for dealing with people who are struggling with sexual identity. Men's and women's groups, life groups, Room in the Inn, ministering to the homeless, Celebrate Recovery, helping people who are dealing with addictions of all kinds. Hope Clinic, dealing with women's issues. Mercy Multiplied, teen girls that need help. Narrowgate, teen boys that need help. The persecuted church from Iraq in Jordan now, helping them. Arise Hope, here dealing and helping with Arab-speaking Muslims and winning them to Jesus Christ. Kids on Stage China here every single summer. Just, it goes on and on and on. The fact is, God is using us to reach the lost, to equip the church, and to send the willing in order to expand his kingdom. Grace Chapel, let me tell you something. God loves what's happening. The devil hates it. So be it. That's my attitude for 2019. God loves it. The devil hates it. So be it. We're going to take our licks. We're going to have our detractors and whatever, but so be it. Let's just keep on doing what God's called us to do. And if we're going to bear fruit for his kingdom, we are worth remaining open, right? The time we ever quit bearing fruit for his kingdom, then again, that's another issue. But we are bearing fruit all over the world, and we're going to keep up the good work so long as y'all are here and we do it together. Amen, somebody? Good, good, good. All right, let me talk to you about 2019. 2019. We are currently in our 25th year. We will celebrate Grace Chapel being 25 years old on October 9th of 2019. Now, a couple weeks ago, I was in Dallas with Dr. Rutland, and it was 2 or 3 days of just intense meeting with him about my life, about just my own issues that he gets to speak to as a mentor in my life, about Grace Chapel and about Grace Chapel's future. I mean, it was just an intense, wonderful time with my dear friend. As I started unpacking what 29 was going to look like, how I thought it would look anyway, Dr. Rutland looked at me very soberly but very excitedly, and he said to me, he said, "Steve, it is like you've been planning this for the last 30 years and now it's all come upon you. It's like it's all coming together right now." And it's like the joke was, nobody could plan this. Nobody could plan what we're experiencing right now and work toward it for 30 years. Only the Lord can do that. So I love that Dr. Rutland noticed that and said it. So in 2019, we're going to continue doing so many of our core discipleship and outreach opportunities. All those things will continue, but I want to highlight some new stuff for you for 2019. First of all, let me address the campus issue. We're sitting on, if we include the property that the school leases from us, 175-acre campus, lots of space here, but not enough parking, and we've got ingress and egress problems, and we've got to deal with it. In the past, we've looked at and spent a lot of research, a lot of estimates on what it's going to be. Okay, well, are we going to build or not build? Are we going to build a bigger sanctuary or not build? Well, we can afford it, but does that mean that we should do it just because we could afford it? And all this stuff, all the meetings with the county, figuring out what it's going to do. It's not an easy thing. It takes a lot to come to a conclusion. Well, we came to the conclusion that we are going to build a bunch of new parking. The county then is going to make us build a turn lane off of South Hall Road to get in here. And between the turn lane and the parking, it is going to help the congestion issue big time. Now, the reason that we didn't go with the building plan is because after it was all said and done and all the estimates came in, we were looking at an $18 to $20 million price tag. And so we were already affording that because we double and triple our payments. It's not that the money wasn't there. If we wanted to go into that kind of debt, we could afford to do that. But was that really the right thing to do? It would be the normal thing to do, but I don't know that we've ever been normal around here. At least you all are more normal than I am anyway. But I don't know that we've ever done things really the way that most churches do things. So we decided not to do some big, huge building, but we are going to do some things to help with congestion. Another thing that's going to help with congestion is we've had our eyes on Fairview now for quite some time. Jay told me just this morning there's about 800 people that come from the greater kind of Fairview area. Fairview, Bonacqua, Dixon, Hickman, all that area over there. There's about 800 people that come here from there. So what we're going to do is plant a church in Fairview in 2019. We're going to have Grace Chapel Fairview happening. Now, we've already purchased a building there. It's right next to Sonic if you want to go drive by it and look at it. It's only a 3,000 square foot building, but what it's going to do is give us a presence in the community that we don't have right now. We're going to be remodeling it soon, gutting it and turning it into exactly what we want it to be. We're going to be able to do life groups there, women's Bible studies, all kinds of different gatherings. Kids are going to be able to go there after school. We could do tutoring things. We're talking about partnering with Mercy Medical and doing some medical work out there, all kinds of different opportunities. But Fairview is on our map in a big, huge way. It's not going to happen fast. To get it all together isn't a quick thing, but we've been given every assurance that Fairview Middle School is going to open up to us, and we look forward to meeting on Sundays come August. That's our time frame. Prior to August, we'll be able to do other things in this other building, but really kicking off a launch is looking like August. Again, the other building exists. We're remodeling it now. We're on top of it now. And who are we going to send there? That's the question. Who's going to go to Fairview? Well, I've got the answer for you. And I'm happy to see that Amanda is here this morning as well. Pastor Ian and Amanda Gilchrist, could you all stand up real quick? They are going to Fairview. Yeah. They put their house on the market. It sold in 12 hours, and they've bought a house in Fairview, and they are literally in the process of moving. So God bless you guys. Just want everybody to see and know what's up. That's what's happening with their life. And as we progress, of course, we'll keep you up to speed on more of what's happening there. All right. Let's go into this next section here that I've entitled Unique Opportunities. Unique Opportunities. I really need everybody to listen carefully. I don't need you to try to fill in blanks that aren't there or try to interpret something that isn't being said. Can we agree on that? Yes, see, we can agree. Okay. So over the last several years, without question, opportunities have increased for me to speak into various political and spiritual situations, both here and abroad. That has led me into conversations and meetings with some very interesting people. It is nothing, and I think this is important for all of us to understand, it is nothing that I have schmoozed my way into or kicked doors down or dropped names. These are just doors that have and continue to open to me from very, very unique places. What that means is I'm going to be having to spend more time studying certain topics so that I can speak into those issues when I'm asked with a bit more knowledge and authority, both in the secular sense and the biblical sense. It means that I'm going to be spending in 2019 some more time traveling probably than I have in the past. And it means that you're going to see me a wee bit less. Everybody say wee bit less. Good. A wee bit less on Sunday mornings. I want you to hear me very clearly so we can quell any rumors that might want to be starting. I am not leaving. That may sadden some of you. For those of you that it doesn't sadden, I'm grateful. But I don't want anybody to read into this anything that's not there, okay? I'm not leaving. What I am doing is answering a call and going through an open door to represent Jesus and Grace Chapel in places and spaces that desperately need him that we've been invited into. And so it's an incredible honor that God has laid before our church family. Now, I am absolutely convinced that we, as a church family, need to say yes to this. Now, here's how we say yes to this. I say yes to this by praying, by studying, by going, by speaking, and by risking at some times. That's how I say yes to this. Here's how you say yes to this. You say yes by praying, by attending, by serving, and by encouraging whoever is in this pulpit on Sunday morning. Because, yes, because whether it's Dave Buring, who just now eased into, well, let's start with Dr. Rutland, who is in his 70s, or Dave Buring, who just eased into 60, or me in my mid-50s, or Jonathan in his 40s, or Ian in them, or in his 20s, or 30s, excuse me. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really matter who's here so long as they're delivering the word of God faithfully. And we need to raise up the next generation so that when this 55-year-old man is done, there's going to be a seamless transition with someone that we all know and love and have supported for years. I'm not planning on leaving or running away quick, but I am saying we've got to be faithful to raise up the next generation. Let me just tell you now, I'm being vulnerable in front of you on my behalf and behalf of my friends who fill this spot on Sunday mornings. All of a sudden, it starts to get, well, word comes out, oh, Steve's going to be gone for 2 weeks, and then we're at 75% instead of 100% attendance. Let me just tell you, could you imagine what that does to this person? This guy who's speaking? Let me tell you something. Whoever stepped behind this pulpit every Sunday morning who is a guest of ours or someone that we are intentionally raising up needs to stand here to a standing ovation, hand clapping, hooting, shouting, and praying blessing over that person. Right. We dare not become a personality-driven church where if Steve's here, great, but if he's not, oh, then it just doesn't count as much. God forbid. I think we're more mature than that, but I just wanted to say it for official sake. Amen, somebody? Good, good, good. So we want to raise up the next generation so that together we can expand the kingdom here and abroad in new and amazing ways. Again, just this last week, now, there's so much to this. I'm calling this unique opportunities because I don't know what else to call it, and I can't just tell a story about what some of these things are. Some of these things you're just going to hear me say, hey, I had to go somewhere, and I'll be back. But you can be assured that it's kingdom activity that just doesn't need to be out there for everything. There's just certain people you meet around the world that it's just not public news anymore. Just this last week, I'm only going to tell you one of these. Just this last week, from someone who, I don't know, a rabbi in Jerusalem with a mutual friend, gets in touch with me and says, hey, I want you to come and speak at our Orthodox Jewish high school for boys. It's the largest in the nation, 650 kids, high school kids. And I want you to, listen to this, I want you to come and talk to them about how much your faith influences your life's decisions and the way you live, and tell them why the evangelical church loves Israel so much. Let me pray about it. Yes, I'll be there. I mean, just, I don't know how and why these things are happening, but I'm telling you, friends, very interesting, unique things. The Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, I've told you about that. That ministry, got invited to be a founding board member. That ministry is exploding right now. I'm telling you, things around the world. You know the Brazilian president, the newly elected, newly inaugurated Brazilian president, just made it official. They're moving the embassy from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem. I'm telling you, my friends, these guys that I know in Jerusalem, they're sending me pictures, putting a prayer shawl over the president of Brazil, laying their hands over him, praying in the spirit over him. And he's welcomed him to do that. And he said, yep, we're moving the embassy. So unique opportunities in political and religious circles that are opening up. And what do we do with that? What do we have to say together? Steve, we're in. We're in. We're in for whoever is up here. We're in for wherever God sends you. We're in for the kingdom. We're not just in this for us. Huge, unusual opportunities. Grace Chapel, what say you? Can we do it just a little different and be more effective than the norm? I hope so. I hope we say yes and amen to this. All right, now let's move on real quick. I'm trying to wrap up here. This October will be, as I said, our 25th anniversary. It's a month of special celebration, special guests. It's going to be incredible. Not only will Grace Chapel be 25 in October, I'll be turning 55 in October, and I'll be in my 30th year of being a senior pastor. All very significant things, all right in that month. Now, let me tell you something else. I'm believing that either by or whether it is the month of October, that Grace Chapel is going to be 100% debt-free. 100% debt-free. I think barring anything unusual, we may be able to pay off our debt with our regular giving and our budgeting and doing well like we have in the past. If not, if our regular giving isn't able to get us out of debt by then, come October, we might have to do a sacrificial offering for, who knows, the smallest amount we've ever had. 11 years ago, when we were 25% the size we are now, we raised $2.85 million in one offering. If we did that today, three times bigger than we were 11 years ago, we'd be out of debt today. So paying on it for 10 months and maybe having some residual, I'm not concerned at all about being 100% debt-free come October on our 25th anniversary. I think that's pretty cool. Now, what does that mean? Okay, Steve, we're debt-free, so what? What that means is approximately, it's anywhere between $150,000 to $165,000. So let's just say $160,000. That means $160,000 a month is going to be freed up for ministry. A month. What could we do with $160,000 a month? A lot. And you know what we're gonna do? A lot. We are positioned for greater kingdom impact than we've ever been in our entire existence of 25 years. Again, Rutland said, it's like you all planned it this way. We didn't plan anything, but I think God did. Now, listen, we could go $18 to $20 million in debt and build some big old thing over there and, you know, have a sanctuary that's twice this big. And man, wouldn't that be wonderful and look beautiful and be more comfortable? Because that's what this is all about, right? Jesus just wants us to be comfortable. That's all that matters to him, is our comfort and our ease and making sure there's enough parking and all. That's all he cares about. Or not. Or we don't spend $18 to $20 million. We take that $160,000 a month and with laser-like vision and focus, we go after some of society's greatest needs and make the biggest difference we can possibly make. And if we run out of space, here's what we can do. We can just add a third service. I'll preach three times on a Sunday. I'll be dead Sunday night, but it'll be all right. So we go, okay, let's just add another service. We keep growing, we'll just add another service. Listen, well, another service means a whole bunch of other volunteers for children's ministry. I knew there was a catch. But then all of a sudden, you see what? You see your volunteering in children's ministry keeps us $18 to $20 million out of debt. It is an offering that allows us just to keep doing more here for free so that we can do more out there for the glory of God. Does that sound good to anybody? So, real quick, let me just give you some things to think about, some needs things. All right, here we go. Or not. There we go. All right, the abortion issue. It's the biggest plague on our nation, period. We're killing millions of babies every single year. We're gonna have an opportunity to do something about that in increasing ways. With that comes adoption and fostering, okay? That would be number two, adoption and fostering kids. Huge need right now, yes, even in Williamson County. What about addiction? I do not want to do another funeral of an overdose because someone was addicted. There are ways and there are things we can do to help people get off these opioids and live and not die. What about abduction, kidnapping, trafficking, sex slavery? We can do something about that. Division and racism, we can do something about that. Incarceration or imprisonment, what can we do about that? How can we increase what we're doing there? Disabilities of all kinds, from differently abled youth until people, elderly people with Alzheimer's. What can we do with the disabled community? about this issue of sexuality where people are so broken and so unbelievably confused. What can we do there? What could we do with poverty or education in these issues? What could we do to help with this issue of suicide? It is happening right here. Right here. And so, friends, I think meeting those needs is more valuable to Jesus than us building bigger buildings. We've got an unbelievable opportunity, unique opportunities that we've never been faced with before, and it's our decision to figure out what kind of church we are going to be. Do we want business as usual, building bigger buildings and just doing typical stuff that typical churches do? Or do we look at what God is doing and join him in it, regardless of how bizarre or unusual or risky it might be? That's what I vote for. I vote for that with everything I've got. I want to remind us, Grace Chapel, of our past in that we are not a cruise ship. We are a working vessel, and there is work to do for the kingdom of God. Let's bind our hearts and our hands together and do it for the glory of Jesus without looking back, without regret. Let's go forward. Let's do this thing. All right, well, I've invited everybody to join Sarah and I and 250 plus other churches in Middle Tennessee into a time of prayer and fasting. 21 days of prayer and fasting starting tomorrow if you need to adjust a couple more days, but just if you could look at January 31st maybe as your end date and give your heart to prayer and fasting. If you don't know what that means, it's a powerful spiritual discipline that unlocks good things in your life. I've done teaching on this. You can watch the teaching. You can look at my notes. Just go to gracechapel.net. It'll pull up there all about prayer and fasting. So we want to invite you to join us on that. Start tomorrow if you can. And then Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, Pastor Jonathan, the worship community, is going to lead us into starting off 2019 with a before the throne time of prayer and worship. So Grace Chapel family, listen to me. We ended 2018 last Sunday by laying hands and praying over every single family. We're starting 2019 with prayer, fasting, and vision to go after God more than we ever have before, to accomplish more than we ever had before by the grace and glory of God. If you're excited about that and want a part of that, there's room for you at the table. Come on in and let's go for it together. But that's what we're about, that's what we're going for, and I can't wait to see it. Rob, I just saw you. Could you stand up for a second? Rob and Misty, could you stand up? This is Rob and Misty Rogers. Rob Rogers. Yeah, hold on a second, hold on. You can clap big time in a minute. Rob and Misty just moved back from Bellingham, Washington. They've been there for the last 6 years. They planted and pastored a church. Rob was the very first Narrow Gate student. I've known Rob for 13 or 14, 15 years, whatever it is now. He was on staff with us here. He went up there to plant a church, did all that. They've moved back here. Rob is joining us on staff here as an associate pastor, and we're really, really thrilled, Rob, to have you join our ranks again. And Misty, God bless you. We can't wait to see what God's going to do. I just want to give you a shout out. Now, tell Rob and Misty, welcome to our church family. All right. I've been told there's 100 people down at the new members class that's happening, and I am overdue to get down there. So, Grace Chapel, here we go, 2019. I say we go after it with everything we've got, and let's answer the call that God has uniquely placed on this church. Is anybody in for that? Awesome. Balcony, you in? You in, balcony? Good. All right. God bless you all mightily. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you very, very soon.